welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. I'm Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and we're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. We have in the studio with us our in-house lending expert, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua. Tom, how's everything going with you?
You know, I'm doing great. And I love your show idea for today. It made me do some research and pull some stats for a branch, and it was interesting. So I'm excited to go through it with our listeners.
Absolutely. Yes, we are going to be diving into some numbers today and looking at the statistics of the market last year. All the numbers have come in and they've been tabulated, and we've been able to get our reports out. So it's nice to look at some of those trends. So we will hit that in just a moment. First, of course, we always like to start with our celebrity dash crazy real estate house of the week. And this one really caught my eye. And this is listed in just outside of Boston, about 50 miles northwest of Boston. And this is an 1884 mansion that has been almost perfectly preserved. And actually, it does not have a crazy price like I thought it would. This is on the market for $525,000. And we're talking your classic all brick, very grand type structure. And it has never been on the market. It has been passed on through their family for the last 3 to 4 generations. One of the reasons why is it was originally passed on through a couple generations. And the last time it transferred in 1910, it became a members-only bar, club, and restaurant, kind of like an Elks Club or a Kiwanis Club. But this became a local club, and it had maintained that way up until last year when they finally shut it down because of lack of membership, declining sales. And you got to think, Tom, at some point, all of the members died.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, great-great-great-grandpa is rolling over in his grave right now.
He's probably not happy that the club is finally for sale. But it had some just absolutely amazing, you know, I pulled this off of Yahoo Real Estate, and it has some absolutely amazing, perfectly preserved, the hand-carved woodwork inside of it. You've got the trade-type ceilings that was all done in wood beams, and then the bar that they had was just this beautiful, long wooden bar that you would expect when you go to Boston and those older cities to see. So really, really interesting to look at those type of buildings, because we don't get a lot of that around here in Tri-Cities.
Well, when you're talking about that all brick structure like that, and I'm looking at the picture right now, just absolute huge building. How many bricks goes into making something like that?
Yeah, I have incredible. No idea. And when I think about the only building that comes to mind that's even close to that is, I think, the Moore Mansion kind of looks like that a little bit. So pretty fun to dig through some of those sites, look at some of those, and see what's out there. But yeah, Tom, you hit on it. This week, what we really want to look at and kind of go over is the number of sales, residential sales, that happened in Tri-Cities last year. And we had been tracking along. We knew it was going to be a big number, and boy, did it totally end up doing that. In the residential side, when we're looking at Kennewick, West Richland, Pasco, and when we're looking at that, the Tri-Cities plus West Richland, we bring in the outer line areas a little bit. So we also have some sales that happened in Benton City and Burbank area. But we're looking at, when we come into that, last year, or I guess last year now is 2015, but the year before, the full year before, 14, we closed 3,477. In 2015, the final number that came in, and I've sourced this data out of the Tri-City Association of Realtors, is 4,135.
Wow.
So we came in basically with an additional 635 transactions. So we ran well over 20% increase in the number number of transactions. And so we knew that we had been tracking for a record pace, but that is like destroying the previous year's record.
You know, I'm really curious to see what happens in 2016. Like, do we auto-correct and does it soften back up, or is this the new level, or what's going to happen?
Well, and we, and like I say, we've talked about that a little bit on past shows, but that is the question, you know, that nobody really knows that you're trying to get at. However, with that, one of the things we're looking at is the correction won't happen overnight. So we've got a couple factors going, meaning we have, you know, 30% less inventory than we had last year when we started this record-breaking year. So there's less homes on the market for sale. We're probably looking at an increase in new construction homes, trying to get enough product to the market to be for people to be able to purchase and move into a new home this year. The other way that I always like to break down those statistics is I like to see which city had the bulk of those sales. And from year to year, it varies a little bit. But one of the things that was interesting about this year is in the past, a couple years, Pasco had always been way ahead of Richland. But a couple things happened. They were trying to slow down the growth a little bit in Pasco. We had additional lot charges put on lots out there. Well, this was the first year in the last couple years where I've seen that number equalize. Richland had 1,005 sales, which represented about 25% of that market. And Pasco, with just 11 more sales at 1,016. So it was almost a dead heat race. Pretty much 25% of the market in both Richland and Pasco. And then this year, for the first time bumping into a new percentage area, I saw Kennewick at 1,617 sales. So that put Kennewick at garnering 40% of that market. And then the remaining percentage that we're looking at there, West Richland was still really steady. When we started doing the radio show 3-4 years ago, they were generally running at about 7% of the market sales. And now that's bumped up to about 9.2% of the market in West Richland. So Kennewick really getting the lion's share of those sales. And earlier in the year, you know, we had the Kennewick mayor on. They talked about they've really put some planning in place to continue that trend. And I think we'll see some of those new subdivisions open up in the Southridge area. We've also got some in the West Kennewick area, Thompson Hill. They've done the Steptoe extension to better connect those areas. As that type of infrastructure goes in, we're going to continue to see them be, I think, a big winner as far as the number of sales that are happening in the Tri-Cities.
Yeah, I got to imagine when I'm thinking about what's closest to like the epicenter of Tri-Cities, that West Richland and new construction is going to continue to grow out there.
You're absolutely right. And they've also got a couple new schools coming online there. And so between that and the connections that are happening, the way West Richland and the whole Badger South, Dallas Road out there, that whole West Richland, South Richland, those lines get really blurred in there. And you're exactly right. There's been a lot of development pushed that way, being close, especially to some of the Hanford jobs. I think you're going to continue to see that growth out there. And I've seen plat maps and proposed maps coming in those areas. And that's also going to be a key area in the growth. So we've got a lot of exciting projects coming on. Just the influx of people that we've had coming in, we need those to come on a little bit faster. So very, very good. Another statistic that we get to check on this time of year is looking at last year, average days on the market across all 4,000 sales. Tom, what do you think that was?
All 4,000 sales, let's say 82 days.
Okay, so in the past, it had been that way. But as quick as the market was moving in those price ranges, the inventory goes down, days on the market goes down. Average over all 4,000 sales, 50 days on the market.
Wow. Yeah, I was trying to count for those higher-end sales prices that might sit longer, but I know under 200,000 is just flying off the shelves. But 50 days for all of them is incredible.
50 days across the board for the whole market. Now, it's also smart when you're looking at different houses, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit about after our first break, but it's also smart to break those price segments down and look at the average days in those price segments because that can change. But to see the whole market average come down so drastically in 1 year's time is another indication of our inventory and where we're at. So 50 days on the market, you're looking at about roughly 2 months there. So in that process, when you're looking at 1 to 2 months, get an offer on a property under contract, another 45 days to close. Another thing that people always ask is when they're going to write offers, they say, gosh, you know, well, it's listed at 225. What do you think they'll take? Well, there's a lot of factors that go into that. How long has it been on the market? What's the location like? Where will it be at? So across the board, the average list price of all 4,000 of those houses, the average list price is $229,500. That's average list price for a home in the Tri-Cities. The average sold price for what it actually closed at after negotiations is almost 227. So we're actually only talking, it's like 98.3%. So most homes are selling within 1.5% of the list price.
And I think in years past, it's been closer to 3, am I right?
You're exactly right. When we've done this in the past, we've been at 96%. So yeah, 3 to 4%. So another indication of the market that shows up in the statistics. It's really fun to look at those statistics and say, this is why we're feeling. This is why it is this way. So another number that has been moved greatly by those stats is what we call sold price to list price ratio. And then just, I always love looking at the big number. How much real estate, residential real estate, was sold in the Tri-Cities? And so when you add them all up, you can do the math. If we've done the average sales price of 220 by 4,000, and you come up there really close to $905 million.
Wow.
So that
is a big number.
That is a big number of transactions that was done in the Tri-Cities market. And so like we said, we talked about it throughout the year. We had looked at those trends and we had seen what was going on. But it really helps us know what type of offer we have to make on a home, how quickly we have to move on a home. And then when we do, how can we make our offer look more attractive? On the flip side of that, from the seller's standpoint, we're looking at when will the data and stats be this good again for selling? So you look at our average sales price, 225. You got to think, if I'm in that range and I'm at this value and I need to sell my home and make a move, move up to a new home, finally build, which would be a great option in a lower inventory market, is there going to be a better time to make that choice? When we look at the stats right now and look at those numbers, the indication is a pretty blaring, this could be one of the better times to have made that decision. So when we come back, we're coming up on our first break here. When we come back from the break, we're going to have Tom look at some of the numbers on the lending side. We'll relate that back to what happened in the market, and we'll talk about some new inventory that we've put on the market, some great new listings coming up right here after the break. Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Been here with Tom Coyne from Umpqua, and we've been talking about stats and statistics from the market last year. We spent a couple hours this week tabulating some numbers, graphing this out, getting that information together so we can kind of see how that relates to what we've been doing in the market. So Tom, I if half the listeners have turned the station or tuned out because I bored them with statistics, for those that are still with us.
I'm going to try to keep them here.
Keep them here. What's going on the lending side? And I was excited to hear your numbers and look at how did we pay for all these homes? What does that demographic look like in the market?
Well, you know, there's various loan types out there, and I thought it'd be a great idea to really look at the numbers and say, what percentage of this type of loan versus that type of loan are we closing? And we have a very diverse culture and community here in the Tri-Cities, and I think that our branch does a really good job at servicing all of them. So I think that our numbers are going to be fairly indicative of what the entire community does as a whole as far as the types of loans they're getting. But Lance, you're going to back me up on that. So let's take a look. So the number one, I'd say group of loans that we close are conventional loans. And my branch closed 44% of the loans that we closed were for conventional loans. Lance, what was the stat for the Tri-Cities?
Okay, so when we look at all of those 4,000 sales in the Tri-Cities, we're coming up pretty close. So the market as a whole over those 4,000 sales, according to the Association of Realtors, 54% of those were done with conventional loans.
So that means that the rest of all the other lenders out there in the U.S. that financed in the Tri-Cities did about 10% more than what we average for conventional loans. Now, conventional loans typically require, say, 5% down, unless you're doing them through a special program. And these are generally going to be for your home buyers that are maybe repeat buyers or move-up buyers, and their credit scores are generally above 700. Now, there's a little bit more conservative guidelines for conventional loans than there are for some other programs, but if you're a client that has, say, 700 or higher credit scores, you have a down payment to make, and overall you're financially sound, conventional 9 times out of 10 is going to be your best route. Now, the next category of loans that we close the most of is for FHA, and that accounted for 23% of our business.
And there's where we might have seen a little bit of the makeup difference, because on the Tri-Cities level, loans done with FHA was 21%. So you guys were doing a higher average amount of FHA than the market was as a whole.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the benefits of FHA is that it only requires 3.5% down, and it has some of the lowest interest rates. So conventional, very much credit score driven. FHA, not so much. Basically, if you qualify for FHA, everyone's going to have within an eighth to a quarter percent of each other based off of their credit score. So really good low interest rates. Now, it also allows a person's debt to income to be a little bit higher than what conventional standards be. So a little bit more liberal guidelines than you would have for conventional. Now, a lot of first-time home buyers use FHA because maybe they don't have a lot of credit history established yet, or they don't have a large down payment. But the downsides to FHA is that if you're only making that minimum down payment, which is 3.5%, that monthly PMI that you're paying, which doesn't benefit you, is never going to drop off. So that's kind of a downside, because on conventional, it will drop off when you're scheduled to hit that 80% loan to value. There's also a funding fee you have to pay of 1.75% of the loan amount that's rolled into the loan. So that's a fee that you wouldn't see on a conventional loan.
Well, and when I ran these numbers, I mean, the first thing that came to my mind, because we do the radio show, we stay on top of these things, is in general, over the last couple of years, hasn't FHA been raising those fees to make them more profitable and to also not discourage, but lessen the amount of those loans they're doing?
Yeah, you know, I wish I would have went back and looked at the figures, but it wasn't too long ago that FHA was 70% of the business being done.
Yeah.
And it's because their monthly mortgage insurance rates were really, really low, low down payments, low funding fee. It was just a great program. But when they have those really really liberal guidelines, more people are getting into those loans. And when across the economy, people started losing their homes, a lot of them were for FHA. So they raised their fees and the mortgage insurance, the funding fees, to try to help offset some of those losses they were taking and keep it a viable program.
And so now they're down to where it's about 21% to 23, depending upon what you're looking at there. And so still, though, a force, I would say, in the market. Anytime a portion of the market is a quarter of the market, mm-hmm. it's definitely something that we still need to really keep an eye on. So good numbers there, Tom.
Next program. Now, this is a loan that you can use with either FHA or conventional. So that is the Home Advantage loans. And we did about 13% of our business was for Home Advantage loans. Now, I don't think yours breaks out the stats, and these Home Advantage loans would probably be grouped in with conventional or FHA. But Home Advantage is the program we use through the Washington State Housing Finance Commission. And it's basically one of the only zero down loans that are out there. So if you're not a veteran or you're not buying in a rural area for USDA and you're wanting zero down, we're probably going Home Advantage. Now, how you get that down, that zero down, is that we give you, in conjunction with, say, an FHA loan that requires 3.5% down, a second mortgage. That second mortgage has zero interest on it, zero payments, but you're going to pay it back in 30 years when you sell the house, or if you ever refinance, whichever comes first. Now, it's a great tool for someone to get in the house. Now, the downside is it to this program is that the Housing Finance Commission sets the interest rates. Every lender in the state has the exact same rates for this program. So you can shop around, but you're basically shopping around for service when you're shopping around the Home Advantage loan. But their rates are generally higher than most loan programs. Now, the next program I want to talk about, and I think, Lance, you'll probably have this one, is the VA accounted for 11% of our transactions.
Okay, so once again, you guys are doing a little bit above average to the market there. In Tri-Cities, we saw 366 homes sell with VA, so that represents 9% for the Tri-Cities market as a whole.
You know, and VA is a great program. If you're a veteran and you qualify for the VA loan, this is probably going to be your best option. It has no monthly mortgage insurance, even if you're putting zero down. And there's a funding fee that's rolled into your loan, but VA actually waives that if you are considered disabled. So again, if you're a veteran, probably your best route is to go VA. And misconceptions out there, you can only have one VA home, VA loan in your lifetime. That's not the case. We can just have to check your eligibility and see about getting you a second one.
And Tom, I was at a signing this week with one of our clients that was VA loan on a purchase. The rate was incredible. There's a lot that goes into it, so I won't say exactly, but the rate was incredible. They were also Homes for Heroes clients, mm-hmm. so they got a 25% rebate from us. And then, of course, as we're looking at the settlement statement, you did the loan for them. They also had a big credit from you on the lending side.
From us. Yep.
And it was just one of those things where they were so thankful at the closing, and they're like, this is incredible, because their credits of that amount, their credits from Umpqua and Tom, it just was a great experience, and it really brought that in super affordable. And for these particular folks, it was a retirement home, and so amazing rate, low pay, retirement home, VA. It was just the perfect storm. It was awesome to be there with them.
Yeah, you know, when you go through that Homes for Heroes program, there's certainly a lot of savings there. And if you're qualifying for a VA loan, you're all already qualifying for Homes for Heroes. The last segment I wanted to talk about was our portfolio loans. So these are the loans that we insure ourselves. We keep them in-house, and they're kind of, we'll call them special programs. And that accounted for 9% of our business. The majority of those portfolio loans are construction loans that we were doing. So again, our construction loans are requiring just 5% down. That was recently announced. But we also, in our portfolio, will allow renovation loans. We'll allow the manufactured land home packages, and also jumbo loans. So jumbo loans are going to be any loan above $417,000. Those aren't insurable by, say, Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or FHA. So a lot of times we'll go portfolio with our jumbo loans, and that accounted for 9% of our business.
Tom, that's great. And I love I love that we both did this independently. Your stats on the lending side with Umpqua, my stats from the Tri-City Association of Realtors. And, you know, it's a little scary when you come on the show and we put those together, but they line up. I mean, pretty close.
Yeah,
and
I like
so,
it.
Yeah, so that's always a great backup and double check for us when we look at that. I do always want to get in new inventory that we have out there with my pick three. These properties that I've got to showcase today are fantastic. The first one, 70203 Ridge Road in West Richland. This is a 3-bed, 2-bath Rambler coming in at 2,200 square feet. So big Rambler, huge living room with the built-in entertainment, tile flooring through the kitchen and dining areas. You've got a split bedroom design. So you got the master on one side, the other two bedrooms on the other side of the house. Great for privacy. So you're looking at all of this in West Richland and coming in priced at $182,500. So that's right in our sweet spot of a large segment of the market, home selling in the Tri-Cities. So if you're in that range, we know that that represents over 28% of the market. That's a lot of people are going to be in that range. Please let us know. Pick number two. This is 2005 West 2nd Avenue in Kennewick. So this is a 4-bedroom, 2-bath home, 1,212 square feet. You got a great kitchen with lots of cabinet space. Master bedroom has its own bathroom. Fourth bedroom would make a great bedroom or could be a bonus room. And that house on West 2nd in Kennewick, that's coming in at $140,000. So another great price point that's been super, super popular the last year or two. pick number three, 8906 West Fifth Avenue in Kennewick. Now, this is an executive-style home Don Pratt built. Stunning details. Five-bedroom, four-bath, Rambler with a basement. It's in Hanson Park there, right on Fifth. And you've got, I mean, everything. Huge master suite on that main level. Walk-in closet there. Gorgeous private bath. Tile everywhere. You've got the jetted tub, granite countertops. The daylight basement has another huge entertaining family room with custom built-ins. New paint throughout, fully fenced yard with a view. And that's coming down because we just reduced the price on that to $429.9. Hmm. So to get that square footage in Hanson Park for $429.9, those are some great, great inventory, new inventory that we have. So the way the weather's been, Tom, the snow and ice melted. We've had a couple sunny days here. I'm loving it. Mm-hmm. And what that does is if the snow and ice melts off in early January, mid-January, we don't get any more. We might get one or two more freak storms. But with where we're at right now, what this does is that jump starts the spring market in Tri-Cities. So if it stays like this, we're going to see an early spring market when generally we'd have some really good big ton of inventory come on in March. We're going to see some of that inventory come on now a little bit earlier in February. So there's going to be some newer, better options out there for buyers. So go to our website, kenmoreteam.com. Get signed up on our searches. If you haven't found a house the last couple months, we're expecting to see that inventory climb back up. And now might be a chance for you to get alerted, notified of those new homes right when they hit the market. Tom, on the lending side, if people need to get a hold of you, where can they do that?
Go to my website at tomcoinhomeloans.com or call anytime at the office, 783-7300.
Sounds fantastic, and we will be right back here next week on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.